I do believe thou is a cocksucker. The padded room, baby. I am back. My name is still Darian. Jason Harrell is in the house.
In the his house.
What's going on, big guy?
Oh, you know, my day is every day repeated. I am living the same loop over and over with a monochrome of change in the wee hours of the night.
I mean, is that a bad thing? I would love that.
I do like routine.
Sure.
But right now, I don't know. Just kind of caught in this endless edge of tomorrow kind of time loop where I'm just hoping a monster eats my face off. No, life is good. I'm not having to go to work, so I'm not having to squeeze that in. So that's at least something.
So I feel like I'm exactly where you would be if I took a full year off of work. I don't think I would have lasted as long as you have. What are you, about a month in now?
Yeah, a month and a half.
Month and a half? No, fucking way. But you don't have screaming kids in your face all day either.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not really able to leave the house much right now because of everything going on with my mom and stuff.
Right.
So, once we get that ironed out, then, you know, I probably won't feel like putting a bullet through my skull.
I was about to say, by ironed out, do you mean smothering her with a pillow or
what? It's on order. My pillow and yours.
Certain Amazon pillows. Purposefully made for smothering elderly ladies.
I'm Mike Lindell for smothering.
That's fucked up. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're... Are you staying busy at least?
Yeah.
You got stuff to do around the house?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
An inordinate amount of stuff.
Okay.
But on a bright note, I think I have a head cold, so I at least have snorting, snotting, and coughing going on.
Oh, dude.
So that's at least breaking up the monotony.
Totally. I went for a run today. Around about the 2-mile mark, I stopped because my phone rang. And since I figure I already stopped... Let me go ahead and clear the sinuses. I blew the gnarliest snot rocket. And it's funny because you don't know. I know you got a thing with.
I am so snot intolerant.
The thing about this one was, like, you never know when you have one building until you release. You know what I'm saying? Because then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can breathe. I didn't know I couldn't breathe.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? But this one came out.
So like, this is what oxygen is like.
Woo! Look at that.
I think I'll run another 5 miles.
Oh, dude. This one was like, you know that dry consistency that some boogers have?
I try not to know.
It was like a weird combo of like a dry with a string. You know what I'm saying? I know you're fighting back a vomit right
the
now.
Snot is the sole reason I decided not to breed. I just couldn't do it. I've seen you guys deal with your children.
Yeah.
They are snot producers.
They are.
I got no time for it.
They are. The worst, though, is when you don't catch it. And it goes for a couple hours. And then you just get that dry cake of like... it's almost like somebody smeared Elmer's glue on their face and just left it there for a while.
Nice.
It is gnarly, man. All right. Enough about this horseshit. Let's get into a real horror show here, Jason.
That was the real horror.
That was. And it only gets worse, my friend. Let's start things off with a little horror news, Mr. Harrell.
I remember my first podcast.
It's only been 11 years, Jason.
Horror news.
Raka Shaka, you got anything, big guy?
I do not.
You're a little bit older than I am. But I'm willing to bet that you're going to remember this.
But I'm twice as immature.
Is that a challenge?
It is.
Because we will have an immature off. I will pout. I'm the king of the pout.
I'm throwing a hissy fit as we speak.
You're doing it very nicely. So round about, I think it was like the early 90s, there was a weird move made by, Troma, right? They tried to basically turn the Toxic Avenger into a Saturday morning cartoon. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The Toxic Crusaders was the name of the show.
Yeah.
Because it was on local access here in Reno, you got it like once every other Thursday at a weird random time. And if you weren't paying attention, then you'd just catch the tail.
Do you know if that was actually a legitimate like collaboration with Troma?
It had to be, right?
I mean, you would think, because what a ripoff.
The main character was named Toxie. And like he had like a whole posse of mutants, and they would go fight crime.
The Toxie Posse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Toxic Crusaders are getting a new toy line.
Nice.
By Super 7. The only reason that any of this like in any way resonates with me is because I remember there was a Toxic Crusaders Nintendo game that I had that was damn near impossible to play.
But because of it was just shitty design or difficulty?
It's just a goddamn another side scroller.
Yeah.
And you're lucky if you... I was illiterate when it came to Nintendo games. I couldn't figure anything out. So
really?
I don't think I made it past level 3 on anything.
Wow. I was pretty much that retarded kid in The Wizard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was some kind of savant.
Nice.
But that's the only thing I've ever excelled at in life.
So yeah.
That's my claim to fame.
I got better once Sega Genesis came along. Because then I had more buttons to push. But the two buttons and the side scrollers.
You've been pushing buttons ever since.
I have been. I'm a button pusher, my man. Speaking of button pushers, Emma Roberts is teasing a return to the Scream franchise.
I did see that.
Now, she died.
She did.
The cousin, Sidney Prescott's cousin.
But I also saw it said, if they'll have me. So I think she's just bucking for a job. Or?
It could be that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't bring that character back. She got shot in the head. I guess you could. You bring her back with a steel plate in her head.
Sure.
They do it on daytime soaps all the time.
Hey, they rehash the same story over and over and over and over anyway. Why not?
We're already in for 5 of them. Why not stretch this out a little bit further? What else? Here's something my daughter is going to be super excited about. Are you familiar with Monster High?
I am.
Monster High live action movie.
Ooh.
Coming to Disney Plus. Posters are already up. My daughter is a freakazoid from Monster High.
Yeah, those things sell for bucks.
They do. And like now, they've all come off the shelves, and the only way you can track them down is on an eBay or an Amazon.
Yeah.
You're talking over $100 for one of these
motherfuckers. Yeah, that secondary market is huge.
Oh, fuck me. Is your boner prepared?
It's in full mast right
because
now.
Because you're about to erupt all over me and probably yourself. Lost Boys, getting a Ultimate Collector's Edition 4K Steelbook.
Oh, I saw that. It was a UK release.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Went to order it yesterday.
I knew you did.
It already said that it was out of stock.
Of course
it is. For some reason.
I'm into it, man.
A lot of the other physical media dorks are predicting it'll come to the... A similar release will come to the US.
Of course it will.
And I hope it does.
Yeah.
We've been holding out for a 4K release for that one for a while.
Sure. I will probably pick that up. I'm interested to check out the special features on that.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they're going to do some deep dives. Probably. You're probably going to get at least 45 minutes of Hot Feldman.
I just want a full feature-length commentary of Corey Feldman.
As Edward Frog, Edgar Frog.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Oh yeah, gotta kill some bloodsuckers. That was really the only thing that kept me going back to those goddamn movies was that there had to be some kind of a tie-in, right?
Yeah.
And if you watch the bonus features on the second one, I think there's like a little snippet where Corey Haim pops in as Sam Emerson. In one of them, he's a vampire, and another one, he's not, but. The other frog brother, James,
Alan.
Alan.
Yeah.
He's coming back, and he's a vampire now. So, unfortunately, none of that went anywhere because those movies sucked.
They're terrible.
Corey Haim died, so
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. And of course, you know me. I am doubly hopeful of a steelbook.
Of course you are. Of course you are, my friend. Are you familiar at all with the pseudo rock metal band Gwar?
Yeah. Didn't somebody in that died, right?
Yeah, Dave Brocky.
Okay.
He played. Also known as Odorous Arungus.
All right.
He was like the main guy. Gwar documentary is going to hit Shudder later this week, as a matter of fact. I'm into it.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
I used to have a couple of their CDs. They were more like the shock rock.
Sure.
You know, and if you went to one of their shows, they would spew on you. And,
yeah, even without like being into their music, I'll still definitely watch the documentary.
Sure. And they actually, like with their costumes and all that shit, they put some effort into
it. Fuck yeah, they did.
Excuse me. Speaking of effort. Yeah. All right, hot dog. That's all we got on the listener or the horror news. You ready for some listener mail?
Yes, I am.
Listener mail.
Yeah, buddy. Let's start things off all the way over in Sydney, Australia, with our main man, Tim.
Tim!
From Horror for Dummies. You know the show. You love it. Don't act like you don't. Subject line, hey!
Hey!
Hey, Darian, Jason, Buddy, maybe Monica, probably not. How are we all this week? Dashing as always, I'm sure. Terra Dome, I'm going Xenomorphs. Even if they are not my horse, I don't think the cannibals can make it out alive. I gotta agree with you there, Tim. I mean, I'm not a big... I like jungle cannibal movies, but let's face it, they're all the same, right?
All the same.
Weary travelers, big game hunters, activists go down there, get stuck, and then they get eaten, and usually one of them makes it out alive. And that's about all there is to that, really.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
That's it. You stumped me on the educating department. The Invitation is one of the best slow burn films out. I put it up there with The Witch. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Anyway, that's it for me this week. Stay beautiful and catch you next week. Oh, shit. Before I leave, I have to mention I absolutely love Little Deacon saying jokes at the end of the show. The gummy bears joke last week was funny as hell. I'm going to show that to him. He's going to love that, Tim. Yeah, he puts a lot of work into those jokes.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, by that I mean he has his mom Google a dad joke and then he comes in here and reads it for us. It's good times. Let's get out to the open road. Here comes Freddy from Parts Unknown.
Hey.
Subject line, lunchtime. Hey, folks, just a quick vote while I grab some grub. Xenomorphs all the way. There really isn't much of a contest this week. LOL. Stay safe out there. Cheers, Freddy. This is going to be a blowout.
I would certainly hope.
Yeah. I want to meet the individual that votes for the jungle cannibals. Let's see here. Let's get back to jolly old England with the horror slut. Cats in the house. Subject line, stumped.
Whoa.
Evening, gents. I must say you have me stumped this week with Educate. Though I feel as if I have seen this movie. Terra Dome vote is pretty obvious. She put oblivious. With the xenomorphs. This is a no-brainer. Time to get back to shift. Hope everyone has a safe and healthy week. Cat. Yeah, man.
Take a day off.
Take a day off, Cat, and watch some horror movies with us. Let's get back here to Reno, Nevada. Here comes the cowboy. Subject line, 33-cent movie. Evening padded room. Hope everyone is doing well and made it in tonight. Real quick tonight, work is crazy as the big boss decided to retire yesterday out of the blue. Terra Dome, Xenomorphs get my vote. Yep.
Wise choice.
You have chosen wisely. The cannibals don't stand a chance. Educate, no clue, but it sounds like a fun movie that I'll have to look for later. Thank you for mentioning your Letterboxd. Plan to look at all your lists soon for some good movies. As for the Texas Chainsaw game, I'm going to have to look that up. I have yet to get the Evil Dead game, but it is out and looks fun. I doubt it will replace Dead by Daylight for the rare times I get to actually game. But this one I really want for the franchise set. Now, about the cheap movies. Haha. There used to be a bookstore on Rock right near where the old Butcher Boy was. I actually found quite a few good movies there for cheap, which was awesome. Especially the 10-movie packs for $2. Granted, most of the movies were in those packs are crappy, but I found a few good ones. I did get one movie last night, House on the Bayou. Not a bad flick and worth a watch in my opinion. A few twists and I wasn't expecting, which was nice, but not scary at all. I'm still looking for a movie that should scare me, haha, and always open to suggestions.
Good luck with that.
Right? Back to the grind. Hope everyone has a great week. Catch you on the flip, Cowboy.
Thanks, Cowboy. Thanks for the follow on Letterboxd.
Absolutely. Let's see here. We got some voicemails here, Jason Harrell. Are you ready?
I am more ready than you can imagine.
I am on the edge of my seat. Well, we're going to start things off in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, the funky old South. Here comes Alan.
Had it room. What's up?
What's up, Alan?
Terror Dome. Give me the Xenomorphs. Anyway, you're not wrong about Rosemary's Baby. That movie's so boring.
I agree, man.
I don't know who Mr. Therian is. That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
See you, too, Alan. Thank you for calling in, my friend. Maybe I just didn't watch it. I think, you know what I think it was? I went in there, into Rosemary's Baby, thinking I'm about to sit down and force myself to watch a boring movie. And that probably soured me to the experience going in. And because I had already made up my mind that it was a boring movie, I saw what I wanted to see, which was a boring movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that it's easily perceivable as a boring movie.
I think, but like watching this week's movie, this week's movie could be considered boring.
Sure.
I didn't find it boring.
Nope.
But like to the untrained eye, yes. Jason Harrell, to the impartial observer, one might say, this is boring as shit.
I'm sure one has. I am not that one, but I'm sure one has.
That was me putting on my blowhardy, artsy-fartsy horror critic hat for a second. All right, thanks for calling in, Alan. Let's get up to Southern California now. Here comes Mad Max himself. Mr. Tom Hardy's in the house.
Hey-yo!
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 Pettigroom, how's my favorite degenerates this week?
Hey, we're doing all right.
Oh, man, hope everything is going well. I hope you got Mr. Harrell there to talk
hey,
to.
Hey, you.
Guys cracking me up.
Thank you. He's good.
Somebody to talk to. Rock. Anyway, I wanted to get into the Terror Dome real quick.
What do you think, buddy?
The Xenomorphs and the Jungle Cannibals.
Yep. I'm going to put you down for the cannibals.
I don't know. Can the cannibals get, like, gliders and fly?
I mean, it's not.
If not, then I'm just going to have to take the Xenomorphs, okay. I guess. I can't really find an argument for the jungle cannibals there. I was thinking maybe they're so primitive and savage, the Xenomorphs, you know. Isn't, I was like, that might work with, like, the Predators.
Sure.
But I think the Xenomorphs are just pure instinct. Whether
I
they're
agree.
Advanced, primitive, I think the Xenomorphs are going to run right through them. So,
I agree.
Yeah, put me down for the Xenomorph.
Gotcha.
The educating department, man. I had three in a row.
You did.
And I'm fucked this time. You know, the only thing I could think of was like,
it
sounds like the fall of House of Usher.
You got me!
But I don't think that's it.
You got me!
Look at there.
Tom Hardy, you got
round,
it!
Sir.
Our little boy's growing up.
What are you looking at, department? You know, I did get to check out a couple of flicks. I got to catch Shaun of the Dead again.
Of course, classic.
And Hot Fuzz, which I know Hot Fuzz isn't...
It's all right.
I like
kind
it.
Of a horror movie. You got, you know, a serial killer running around and shit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, good flicks, you know. One of the things about Shaun of the Dead that kind of stuck out to me was, like, I don't know if I was just wasn't in the right headspace when I watched it or what, but I remember it being funnier than it was, and... Maybe I just wasn't in the right spot, or you
Adam
know what I mean?
Sandler
but
syndrome.
I don't know. I remember laughing my ass off at it, but this time just kind of like, well, there you go.
It has a shelf life.
Oh, GP'd. Well, he called back. We'll get right back to him. That's what I call the Adam Sandler syndrome, my friend. We all saw Billy Madison
yes.
and Happy Gilmore
yep.
and all that shit. And we were all probably about the same age when we saw it and thought, this is the funniest fucking shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And now we watch it, and it's like, oh, he just yells at everybody and punches the occasional old lady. Yeah, that's good for
9 out of 10 movies.
That's good for about 10 minutes. After that, it's like, all right.
Shaun of the Dead holds up much better than any of those Sandler flicks.
I would agree. And I think a lot of that has to do with how we identify with those characters. And I would say the same thing about What We Do in the Shadows. We've all been in our early 20s and had those fuckhead roommates that just, oh, I'm not going to do the dishes. Why? I only eat sandwiches. Just do the fucking, you know. And those stupid shit fucking arguments we got into. And, you know, the same thing when you're in your early 20s and your best friend gets a girlfriend and you hate her. And you, but at the same time, you don't want to cock block. And it's, you know, we kind of identify with that. What we don't identify with is a millionaire kid who's heir to some fucking hotel fortune, and he's got to go through kindergarten through 12 in 4 weeks or whatever the hell. I don't know, man. I would say I've recently rewatched Shaun of the Dead. I think it holds up.
Yeah, it's only slightly less funny than what I remember it being.
Yeah,
but it's still great.
I would say that you lose a lot of the laughs if you watch it repetitively. You know what I mean? Like, if you watched it like every year, probably give it a couple years to cool down.
Yeah.
And then it'll regain its humor, I say. That's just my opinion.
I've actually learned to like Hot Fuzz a lot more.
Yeah?
Yeah, I actually really like that.
It's hard to imagine, like, what's his name? The Hound. He's the Yerp guy.
The Hound.
The Hound from Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
And seeing, like, once you've seen Game of Thrones and you've watched the whole thing, you've gone down the right. rabbit hole, it's hard to see any of those actors as anybody other than who they were in Game of Thrones. So when the Hound pops up and he's like, Yerp?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, back to Tom Hardy.
I don't know. I'm not sure if you've had that problem or you've seen it lately and kind of had that thought. Maybe just because it was so original at the time when it came out, and that's why it felt so great. I don't know. One other thing I did get to catch on the Hulu was The Resort.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like a year or two old.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap flick, you know, you can tell. Cheap, but, man, I actually like this flick.
Sure.
You know, it's got the budget limitations, but I always give them some bonus points when that's a circumstance. It's got, you know, budget limitations, and they still make something pretty good. You know, hey, two hot chicks running around, by the way, neither of them do get naked, so fuck me on that one.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They did have this one dude on there, big buffed out motherfucker, looks like, I don't know, Arnold Schwarzenegger with a man bun or something.
Yep, I remember.
It don't mean shit. He turns into the biggest pussy later in the...
Always does. Have you seen The Resort, Jason?
No, I'm looking at it right now on IMDb. It's coming in at a 3.1 out of 10.
I wouldn't say it's a good movie. a traditionally good movie.
Yeah, I was getting confused with something else, I guess.
I am a sucker for any horror movie that takes place in any kind of an abandoned... whatever, hotel, asylum, resort in this case. I'll give it 2 points off the bat just for that. It's got its flaws. I don't think it's a bad show, though. It's worth looking at. Tom Hardy called back after getting GP'd.
No, not going to do. You don't hang up on me. I hang up on you, sir.
Oh, jeez.
As I was saying, love you like family. Bye.
Love you too, Tom Hardy. Thanks for calling in, man. Votes are locked in.
Yeah, I think I was getting that confused with The Rental.
The Rental. I don't think I've seen that yet.
And I actually really like that. Me and Sarah both like that. It's got, what is his name?
I think that just showed up on Shudder, didn't it?
I'd be lying if I told you.
Okay.
Two couples rent a vacation home for what should be a celebratory weekend getaway. Damn, maybe that ain't the movie I thought it was.
Okay.
Apparently, there's a lot of damn movies that are similar in name.
Sure.
The one I'm thinking of, it had...
Dan Stevens in it?
Nope.
Yeah, that was on Shudder.
Dave Franco in it.
Oh, Dave
Franco. Yeah, they rent this place. It's got like a bunch of webcams all over the rental. It's like a B&B, Airbnb type of deal.
Yeah.
But they've got these webcams, and then somebody's chick is hooking up with one of the other dudes, and
chaos ensues.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Sounds about right. That's all we got on the listener mail, my friend. You got anything for Tom Hardy, Alan, Cat, Cowboy, Freddy, or Tim?
Love y'all.
Love you guys. You ready to get into a movie?
Yep.
Let's do it.
God, this thing is so official.
Maybe they're overcompensating. It's kind of hard to call everybody up out of the blue after 2 years.
I'm so glad you're here. We've got a lot to talk about. So much to celebrate tonight. Each and every one of us is on a journey, and we feel that it's important to be on that journey with the people you love. Everybody, this is my friend Pruitt.
Bars on the windows and no
security. It's safer.
You've been acting so suspicious of our hospitality.
Well,
Jesus.
Has it been like this a lot? So agitated. How has he been handling things? He can be self-destructive. I think he's doing the best he can.
Something doesn't feel safe here. We don't see you for 2 years, and then all of a sudden, we get invited to this lavish dinner. Don't tell me that this is normal.
What do you think is happening, Will?
This beautiful moment is upon us. Tonight is the night our faith is made real.
Invitation, Jason Harrell.
Yep.
6.6 stars on IMDb. Directed by Karen Kusama, written by Phil Hay. Stars Logan Marshall Green, Lindsay Brudge, perhaps, I don't know, and John Carroll Lynch. Oh, Daddy. This, I feel like, is what Rosemary's Baby could have been. Should have been. You know what I mean?
This is far superior.
For
entertainment value, especially.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing, and this is kind of what, not to keep going back to Rosemary's Baby and why I liked it or why I didn't like it, but in Rosemary's Baby, you have an out. You stop answering the door. In this one, you're stuck. You're in this goddamn, you're not, I mean, you are locked in, and there are bars on the windows, but more to the point, you have like a social confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in this pretentious fucking dinner party. And you don't want to be the guy that goes, "You're fucking weird. I'm leaving." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then everybody's going to be like, "Oh, he's so uptight. Ugh. Look, he brought negative energy in here. Oh." But so you got to sweat it out, man. You got to stay and you got to pretend like you like these fucking people. Some of them you actually do like.
Sure.
But
Definitely not the
not a fucking,
definitely not the host.
Not a chance, man. God damn. All right. And this, to be honest with you, this kind of like strikes me on the funny bone, because every year my wife's colleagues have like a work party. This is the fucking party, Jason.
Sounds like a real hoot.
I every year her and I get in this big fight, and I'm like, I will give you one of my testicles to not have to go to this party. You're going to the fucking party. Shit. Imagine walking into this dinner party.
Maybe you should offer something worthwhile.
It's true. She's like, I already have them.
Yeah, she's got everything.
Yeah, I need another one.
She owns those things.
But every year, imagine walking into this dinner party, the one that we saw in the invitation, wearing a backwards Los Angeles Dodgers baseball hat and a Elvira t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's me.
Fit right in.
Yeah. No, you don't. What happens is I sit in the corner by myself and nurse my beer for 4 hours. until somebody says, taps me on the shoulder and says it's time to go.
How many Farber beans and nice Chianti jokes do you make throughout the night that nobody gets?
Nobody gets a fucking thing.
Just desperately trying to land one person.
Nothing. Not a thing. Anyway, this is the scene that we're setting for you here, ladies and gentlemen. It's got 6.6 stars on IMDb. This is what I would call a good movie, even if I wasn't a horror dork.
Mm-hmm.
You start off with a young couple headed to a dinner party. We have Will and Kira. Things are already tense, and it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's not going to get any more comfortable as the night goes on. They're on their way up. Fucking pretentious.
Yes.
Dinner party. And I understand, like, I choose to hang out with dudes of a certain ilk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. You, Jeff, Dusty, Buddy. You know, guys that show up to my house, we call each other fucking, hey.
Nutsack.
Yeah, all kinds of names.
Dick and fart jokes.
Nobody, like, backwards Dodgers hats, or Giants hats in most cases, and horror movie t-shirts. Yeah. Those are my boys.
Right.
This is like a whole other realm of, like,
douchebaggery.
I can't think of a better word. You know what I mean? Like, imagine if we all secretly hated each other, but refused to admit to each other that we hated each other.
Yeah.
Thus, we just kept hanging out with each other and dropping little snide fucking remarks to get under each other's skin, trying to get somebody else to crack first and admit that they hate me,
mm-hmm.
so that I'm going to be the bigger man.
Yeah, then you could be the bigger person.
Well, I'm wounded now. I'm hurt. You hurt my feelings. Eat a dick, man. I can't even. All right. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. It's tense to begin with because as the story goes on, we're going to learn that this party that they're going to, Will and Kira, is being thrown by Will's ex-wife. That puts a whole other level of uncomfortability on top of
this. You bet.
It's only going to get worse from here, Jason. they're on their way up to the party. Hollywood Hills, big lavish mansion kind of a thing. They hit a coyote on the way up. And Will has to get out and kill it with a tire iron. Now, again, these aren't my people. These are the, let's put it this way. There's a lot of tweed jackets at this party. There's a lot of, I don't think I've heard anybody talk about a football score.
Yeah, or don't recall that.
Actually crack a beer. There was a lot of wine being poured.
Lots of wine.
I'm sure the pinkies were up as the wine was being drank.
Just like their noses.
Just like their fucking noses. It's fine. Hey, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, if you're one of these dudes, I'm not going to invite you to my house. So, I'm sorry. It's a whole thing. They finally make it up there. They're running a little bit late. They get inside. Things are tense from the start. We're going to meet some of these other dinner guests. We have Thomas and Phil, the token gay couple. They're actually more dude-like than any of the other quote-unquote dudes that are there.
Yeah.
I love these two guys. We have Bobby, the token fat guy. We have our hosts, Eden, who is Will's ex-wife, and her new husband, Dave. They're exactly like you'd expect them to be. And watching this the first time, I didn't know where we were going. I thought that what we were going to find out is that Eden and Dave were all pilled up,
mm-hmm.
and somebody was going to OD, and then it was going to be a, oh shit, I've got felony charges, we have to hide these bodies, and, you know, some shit like that. That's where I thought where we were headed.
I go into movies a lot more dumb than that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I don't even guess.
I think it's going to be Aliens.
I went into this with no idea what it was about. No preconceptions, obviously.
Okay.
I really do watch a lot of movies as possible because I'm almost guaranteed at least some kind of payoff.
I love that about you. I wish I could do that. But I've seen so many horror movies at this point.
Just need to sniff more paint, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I got some paint in the garage. Okay. But at this point, like, there's very little originality. And I can already start doing the math in my head. Okay, that's probably our survivor girl. There was some mention of, like, home invasions. Maybe there's, you know, some kind of a funny games type of a thing going to happen. I already start trying to figure this out as we go. But this one did not disappoint because we're going to go to a whole other neighborhood here in a few
minutes.
So that's cool. It's weird. It's tense. Eden and Dave. Eden is Will's ex-wife. This used to be Will's house. And via some kind of gut-wrenching and heart-string-throbbing flashbacks, we're going to come to the realization that Eden and Will had a son who died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what caused the divorce, and that's kind of what brings us to where we are now. Things are only going to get weirder when we discover that Eden and Dave have basically disappeared for 2 years, 1 year of which they spent in Mexico doing something. We'll get to that in a second. More guests start showing up. We have a Korean young lady. I forget her name. Doesn't really matter. She's pretty hot. We have like another young lady that's kind of skulking about the house, and she was already there when everybody else was.
God, that chick is fugly.
Her name is Lindsay Brugge. Brugge is the actress, and she's actually made quite a name for herself in the horror community. She was in The Lace Crater. Have you seen that?
Nope.
She was in The Midnight Swim. Don't watch that. It's only going to piss you off. She's not, I wouldn't say she's unattractive. The problem is she has a mole right between her eyes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to get past.
And she also, at times or certain angles, it looks like she has like a seam running down her forehead.
Yeah, pointing right to the mole.
I just expect it to split open and something kind of lunge out at me.
Oh, that's fucked up. She is not one of the vampires from Blade 2. I can assure you of that. So anyway,
the guys in this movie are a lot more attractive than the broads. There's a good looking group of guys there.
Yeah.
And some of the most magnificent hair I've ever seen.
Loved them. Love the hair.
Oh yeah. Great hair.
I mean, I wouldn't say she's unattractive, but she's just kind of there and she's like skulking about in the back rooms, and periodically she pops up and like gives Will like a wink or like a flirty kind of a thing. Eventually they drag her out and they introduce her to everybody. Her name is Sadie, and they met her in this Mexico year that they spent. We have some other characters show up. John Carroll Lynch shows up. He plays a guy named Pruitt. Do you recognize John Carroll Lynch from anything, Jason?
Character actor in a lot of different movies, but I can't tell you one specifically right offhand.
You'll know him more specifically as Twisty the Clown in American Horror Story.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. He's got quite the horror pedigree also. If you get a chance, check out the first season. Oh, no, I think it was the second season of Channel Zero.
Mm-hmm.
He played the dead. That one goes like, that's probably, I hate to admit it, but as far as like a horror show goes, that one is much more frightening than American Horror Story. American Horror Story is like a horror soap opera, I would say. But that one is actually like, there's some actually frightening and disturbing stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jonathan Carroll Lynch pulls up. He's playing a guy named Pruitt.
What a fucking weirdo.
Weirdo, I agree. And like an imposing character.
Yes.
I would say. Because he's just kind of, he's there, and he shakes everybody's hand. Hey, I'm Pruitt. How are you? Good to see you. And after that, he just kind of stonewalls himself in certain like places.
Yeah.
And things are going to get weird. We have the Korean chick's boyfriend is as yet unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could have swore the Korean chick's boyfriend was named Troy.
Choi.
Choi is correct. I thought they were saying Troy until I looked at IMDb and I found out his name was Choi. Regardless, he's unaccounted for. He was supposed to be there at some point during the night and is completely unaccounted for. So now, via some exposition and some chit-chat back and forth, we find out that missing year that Dave and Eden were gone was spent in Mexico at some kind of a quote-unquote retreat. Over some drinks and some very expensive wine, we find out more about them and what went on down at the retreat. We find out that Lindsay Brugge's character, her name is Sadie. If you're ever introduced to a Sadie, you run in the opposite direction as fast as you fucking can. Every cult has a Sadie. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Sadie. I'm leaving now. Goodbye. Nice to meet you, Sadie. I'm going to go ahead and head on out. Pruitt, John Carroll Lynch's character, also got picked up in the Mexico excursion.
Mm-hmm.
And So this is where we're going to kind of get some explanation as to what this is all about. Something called the quote-unquote invitation. Now, as they described it at first, it kind of struck me as... you remember that fad that was going around in the early 2000s, The Secret?
Yeah.
It was a
book. I remember the book.
Like
had like a red stamp
it did. On and the front of it. There was like some seminars or some shit you could go to. It was like a whole ass thing. My mom jumped right on
board. You lost me a book.
You lost me a $300 investment. But it was like kind of like that. Like, you know, you go down there and you get some kind of a weird spiritual cleansing and you feel much better and you let go of your fucking whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's sounds to me like a Nexium kind of a thing. Eventually, somebody's going to try and put it in your butt, and then they're going to ask you for $10,000.
And I sign up where?
Will you take a cashier's check, please? That's what it's kind of like a punchline at first. Like, oh, you did the invitation. Oh, do you feel better? Would you get a colon cleanse or what? And everybody's having a big laugh, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, it was actually very therapeutic, and you know we're not trying to push our beliefs on you, but we just have this little video we want to show you.
Yeah, we just like to lock the doors and make you watch a video.
Yeah, we're just going to show you this video. It's just a little introduction, just to show you what you know. If you're interested, we can put you in contact with the right people. Now, have you ever been to an Amway party?
No, but I worked with a guy that was deep into Amway.
Oh, Jason Harrell. When I was trying to hook up with this chick that I worked with at one of the local resorts, and she invited me to a party.
Sure.
And I'm thinking like, cake stands, you know, she was hot, she was in her 20s. I get there, there's six of us.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have met any of each other.
We're
all complete strangers.
Right.
And we sit down for this Amway presentation. I never spoke to her again.
Right.
Fuck
you,
me.
You didn't get involved in the pyramid scheme?
No, I did not. it was so weird. At the end, I had to like fill out this questionnaire for which products I looked at,
mm.
which presentation, and who my presenter was. Oh, so weird. Anyway, that's kind of where we're going here. But when they break out the laptop and show them the video, it's a fucking snuff film, Jason. We basically, they make them watch this old lady die. And, like, the selling point is, we just wanted to show you that there's no fear, there's nothing to be afraid of, it's just a spiritual transcendence or whatever the fuck. And they're like, we just saw an old lady die, man. This is creeping me out. So one of the chicks that was there by herself, I think her name was Kara or Carrie, she's like, you know, I think that's good. I think that's good for me. I'm going to go ahead and get the fuck up out of here. Now, Will is already suspicious of this whole shit.
Yeah.
Because as we're going to find out through these flashbacks, Eden has actually attempted suicide after the death of their son.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I believe, had a bit of a problem with pills, which led to their divorce and the subsequent remarriage to Dave and then the fucking trip to Mexico and all that shit. Dave himself had a bit of a cocaine problem. Will is getting suspicious, and he is kind of like, you know, keeping an eye on Dave and Eden, and he's thinking, he dips out to the backyard for a second, and because the way this house is laid out, like this whole side of the house is nothing but glass. So while he's in the backyard, Eden like slinks off to a bedroom and he watches her take a bunch of pills. So he's like, oh, okay, you're back on the pills there, sweetie, which would make sense considering the way she's acting.
Yeah.
So Will goes back in. He's like, God, this is so fucking weird. What the way they're acting. They've got to be pilled out of their mind or on heroin or something because they're just all smiles and positivity and, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, I just want to give you a kiss. Everybody's freaked out. Kara left. But as Carrie was leaving, Pruitt's like, oh, my God, I think I'm blocking you in the driveway. Let me go out with you. I'll move my car so you can back out.
And the other reason, one of the other reasons for, was it Dave, our main guy? No, that's the second guy.
Will.
For him being suspicious is Dave, like, keeps the interior doors locked.
Yes.
And so that was kind of a point of contention with him earlier on.
Totally.
Yeah.
You have to have a key to get out from the inside,
mm-hmm.
which is really wacky. On top of that, they have bars on the windows. Mm-hmm. But they're like very Art Deco bars.
Yeah.
Like some kind of designer shit. That's pretty creepy, pretty funky. We never saw what happened to Carrie. Pruitt followed her out, moved the car. As Carrie's pulling away, Pruitt's like, "Hey, Carrie, hold on." And then Dave comes and grabs Will, and we don't see what happened to her. In the meantime, we're all still expecting Choi to show up, and he's still not there. We're 2 hours deep into this dinner party. He still is a no-call, no-show. It's pretty wacky, pretty creepy. Now Will dips out to the backyard again. He's just a whole uncomfortable thing, and Sadie follows him out there. And she's like, "Hey, I saw the way you were looking at me." And he's like, "Huh?" And she's like, "You want to fuck me right now or not?
I can make you beg for me."
"Yeah, you want to hurt me? You can hurt me if you want." "What the fuck is this?" Will's like, "Excuse me? My girlfriend is right inside." He's like, "I don't even know you. So who cares? You want to fuck or not?" Jesus Christ. I mean, that's kind of hot in like a weird slutty way. But at the same time, your girlfriend is literally one room away. And there is nothing but glass separating you from her. So unless you're going to don like some kind of a Marine Corps ghillie suit with a boner to get this done.
Now at the very beginning of the movie, when he first saw Sadie, mm-hmm. Wasn't she standing there naked or at least like bottomless?
It's quite possible. All we saw was her in silhouette that first time right. In the hallway. It's possible. Yeah, that okay. Was kind of weird.
Couldn't tell for 100%. But
yeah. Will's like, "I'm going to go back inside there, fruitcake." He goes back in, and now they decide they're going to play this weird game called I Want, which is basically a derivative of Never Have I Ever, except you just get up and you say what you want, and then I guess as a group we all try to make that happen. You just have to be totally honest. So Sadie goes first. She's like, "I want to tell everybody that I love you, and... I just love you guys." And then she makes out with a Korean chick for a few minutes, which was kind of hot. And then what else? The Korean chick is like, "I want some of that cocaine. Do you have any more of that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got some cocaine." So they give her the cocaine. And then Pruitt gets up and he's like, "I want to tell you about my wife." And he explains to everybody how he murdered his wife.
Hey, manslaughter.
Yes, man. Is that something you want to toss around at a dinner party? No.
Well, it was wrapped inside this nice package of I really loved her before sure. I accidentally split her head open.
Exactly, before I roundhouse punched her and split her head against a kitchen counter. Jesus Christ. All right. That's interesting, I guess.
You didn't think it was very sweet and loving when he describes her reaching up at nothing as she faded out into yeah. death?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it was a beautiful scene, but Jesus. I'm just saying, that's a lot to throw on some people that you just met. Finally, we're like, okay, this fucking game is getting out of control. Well, let's just put an end to this right now. So we all kind of like disperse and everybody goes off and Will is kind of like talking to the gay dudes. He's like, "What the fuck is going on here? They got to be on pills or something, right?" One of the gay guys, Miguel, is actually hilarious. So as soon as Will says that, Miguel marches right up to Dave and he's like, "You guys on pills right now? Will thinks you guys are on pills." Everybody's like, "I'm going to punch you right in the face, you fucker."
What?
But just asking. And then he's like, "No habla ingles." Anyway, it's time now to cut the... Well, things are escalating and Will is getting more and more creeped out. He dips out to a side room for a minute and he checks his voicemail on his phone. And he's got a voicemail from Choi. And Choi, as he's leaving the message, is standing at Eden's front door. And he's like, "Ah, shit, I forgot I was supposed to get the dessert. Will, can you stop and get a dessert? I'm here now. I don't want to leave." So now Will's like, "What the fuck happened to Choi? He was here, and now he's gone. He's still unaccounted for." So now we're having dinner. More of this wine and shit is being passed around. He's like, "Hey, where's Choi?" Everybody's like, "Huh? He's late again, I guess." He's like, "No, what? He was here, and he called me. He left a message. He was here, and now he's gone. Where's Choi?" And now Will's being, like, outwardly hostile. Yeah. Like, "Hey, answer the fucking question." Everybody's freaking out, and then, lo and behold, in the most probably uncomfortable moment of the movie, as Will is like interrogating everybody, where the fuck is Choi? The doorbell rings and it's Choi.
And I do have to say, they even fooled me on that one.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I fully expected that to just be part of the overarching story.
It definitely lent itself to the suspicion and the, I guess, suspense, because we don't know what happened to this dude. We haven't even seen this dude.
Yeah, so at this point, there is a little bit of doubt as to whether or not this guy's off his fucking rocker or...
Yeah.
You know, and he's just kind of blowing up for no good reason at all.
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing, because at this point, Will could easily be, like... Whatever horror element is going to unwrap here, besides just the social uncomfortability of the whole thing, Will could be behind it. We saw him do in a coyote with a tire iron. So he might just bust out the tire iron and start doing in everybody else. But at the same time, things are a little weird. You know, we have this weird cult thing going on. We have Eden and Dave being way too positive and a little creepy with it. We have this mysterious pill popping. We have Sadie, the fuck doll, hanging around the backyard. There's a lot of weird shit going on here, Jason.
There is.
So at this point, it's wildly uncomfortable. Will's like, oh my God, I am so fucking sorry. I probably shouldn't be here. And he just starts crying.
Yeah, he really starts kind of breaking down.
Yeah.
Questioning himself.
Totally. And he's like, Can I just excuse myself? I want to go sit in my son's room for a few minutes, or what used to be his son's room. And they're like, yeah, dude, whatever you got to do. And again, they're being so fucking positive. Oh, you know, your energy is not aligned. Come, we're all going to put hands on you or whatever. Get the fuck off of me. So Will just kind of excuses himself for a minute and goes to what used to be his son's bedroom. They've now turned it into an office, very art deco with weird lighting, but it looks out over the backyard. So while Will is there by himself, just kind of gathering himself, he sees Dave walk out of the back sliding glass door and put a red lantern on a post and light it in the backyard. Interesting. Very interesting. No real purpose for that. Nobody's in the backyard, but he does it, whatever. While Will's there, he also notices that Dave left his laptop sitting on that office desk, the same one that had the weird snuff film on it. So Will, being the nosy fuck that he is, and, you know,
he is quite the nosy fuck.
He is, but now he's like, well, I'm already a pariah here. I just accused everybody of murder. Let me go ahead and stack the odds and start snooping through people's personal belongings. So he opens up the laptop, and on it he finds a message from the invitation leader, this weird doctor guy, and he's like, I'm so sorry, it breaks my heart that we have to do this, but this is the first step in ridding the world of pain and grief, or some fucking nonsense like that. Will's like, that's interesting. So he goes back upstairs, where dinner has been already served and Choi brought dessert. And now they're pouring drinks for everybody out of this weird pitcher kind of a thing. Will, still a little bit suspicious. There was a giant tub of phenobarbital, I think, in the bathroom, which was kind of suspicious also. But I don't know. I don't know what that is or what you do with it.
I remember the big bottle of barbiturates
that was
in the chick's dresser.
Nightstand, right.
I didn't see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the master bedroom bathroom.
It
was like a big, like a 2 liter. I don't know. I didn't know you could buy such.
Available at your local Walmart.
Sure. Now in orange flavor. He's like, well, that's kind of weird. But now they're pouring the drinks. Will is like looking at everybody, and this is kind of a telling scene. But if you're watching this for the first time, and I almost don't want to spoil this for you, but it came out in 2016, so who gives a shit? This is a very telling scene because Will has seen that weird video from the cult leader. Everybody's got like the little cocktail glasses, and they have a big cheers, and then Dave and Eden don't drink. They just start making out and smiling at everybody. The Korean chick drinks. She downs the whole thing. And then Will, like, snaps into focus. And he's like, oh, shit, don't drink this. And he starts slapping everybody's glass out of their hands. He's like, don't drink it. Don't drink it. What the fuck are you doing? Again, with the accusatory stuff. And, oh, God, Will, just calm down. Calm down. Everything's cool. He's like, no, don't tell me to calm down. It's poison. Sadie freaks right out and lunges at Will and starts, like, throwing roundhouse punches at him. You're going to ruin everything. You're ruining everything. Okay, why is Sadie freaking out over some spilt cocktails? Either something really is afoot here, or she is just, she really likes toasts.
Yeah, and then Pruitt's kind of dipping out of scene.
He does. Well, yeah. Dave kind of dips out of scene first. Like, Will is defending himself from Sadie, and then he, like, kind of tosses her, but she slips, goes down, and smacks her head against a cabinet, and it causes a nasty head wound. So everybody naturally is like, oh my fucking God, Will, what did you do? Turns out Miguel, the gay guy, is a paramedic. So he's like, he runs over to her and he's like, oh my God, she's bleeding. Call 911, call 911. Nobody has phone service up here. So they dress the wound real quick. They're trying to keep her head elevated. In all this chaos and confusion,
Gina?
I think it was, was Gina the Korean chick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Kira. Looks over at Gina and notices that Gina is face down on the table with white foam coming out of her mouth. So she's like, I don't think she's breathing. And Miguel's like, no, no, she's totally breathing. But he's talking about Sadie.
Mm.
And then we pan up and we see Gina, who's stone dead on the table.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck happened here? Well, she drank the Kool-Aid, my friend. So Miguel runs over to Gina, so does Choi, and they're trying to revive her, and that's when Dave comes out of the back room with a gun and shoots and kills Miguel. And this is where we go from the average Saturday night run-through.
Right, passive, pretentious party to absolute shit show.
I was going
to
say the average Saturday night at the Harrell House. To the annual purge, because now it's fully on. Dave kills Miguel, and for a second there, we're thinking everything's, you know, blown up, but maybe, because Pruitt looks like he's trying to talk some sense into Dave. He's like, hey, easy, easy, Tiger, give me the gun. But as soon as Dave gives Pruitt the gun, Pruitt just starts unloading on everybody.
Yeah.
From there, we cut to Cat and Mouse Town. Choi goes down immediately. Gina's already dead. Miguel's dead. Kira and Will manage to hide in a downstairs area. Eden and Dave, Eden kind of goes into like psychological shock, I guess. She just kind of like drops to the floor. Oh my God, what are we doing? What are we doing? And Dave has to come console her. This is all part of the plan, baby. We all got to stick to the plan. We got to do it. We're going to rid the world of pain and suffering and all that stuff. She's got the gun. Kira and Will manage to get down to the kitchen and get themselves a knife. Thomas, the other gay guy, I think got like he threw himself at Sadie because she came at him again and got a little roughed up, but managed to stab Sadie in the gut, if I remember right, or maybe it was the ribs or something. But Sadie goes down, but she's not quite dead. She's just kind of on the couch. From there, we basically go to Cat and Mouse Town. Pruitt manages to run up on Dave or Will and Kira first. Pruitt is like choking Will out, but Kira gets up and bashes Pruitt's head in with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I don't know what that thing was, but
I think it was a bottle of wine.
Yeah, she started stoving his head in pretty good.
That was pretty gnarly, because like
it's good. That was good to see her step up.
Totally.
Like, no hesitation.
No.
All in.
Well, first he, like, knocks her down. Not unconscious, but knocks her down and then starts choking Will. Then she gets up, grabs the wine, and John Carroll Lynch is a big dude.
Yeah.
But, so, he takes, like, three or four whacks, and he's just going, and then she just goes to town on him and caves his head in. From there, they grab a knife. Thomas is still downstairs. He's managed to shank the shit out of Sadie, which is good. But Dave is still running around and gives the gun to Eden. Eden confronts Kira and Will. And we get like this weird cathartic moment where she shoots Will in the shoulder. And then like has some kind of a mental break and is like, I'm not doing this. So she shoots herself in the stomach.
Yeah, worst place to shoot yourself.
Don't do that. You're just asking for diarrhea, really. I mean, shoots herself in the stomach and she's like, I couldn't. I just missed my son. And then Will crawls over to her and he's like, I miss him too. While that's going on, Dave was downstairs. Big tussle between him and Thomas. Thomas manages to stab Dave and get the gun away from him and basically kill Dave. And then that's pretty much the end of your movie because all of our cult members are dead.
And they take her into the backyard.
Eden asks to be taken outside before she dies. She does die by the stomach wound, I guess. They take her out there and they lay her in the backyard. And then Thomas, Will, and Kira are all standing there. And they look up into the Hollywood Hills. And they see like 50 or 60 of these red lanterns all across the hills. And all they hear is gunshots and screaming and
helicopters flying over.
Police sirens, all that shit, as if this were some grand conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much your movie, Jason Harrell. What'd you think of this one?
I dig it.
I dig it too, man.
I really liked it the first time, especially with it was good. For one, I love a slow burn.
Sure.
I felt like it was a solid slow burn, led up to this great kind of reveal, and then even one-upped itself with all of those lanterns.
Sure.
Which I thought just elevated it so much. I just loved how it was such a bigger picture.
Oh, yeah.
Like the scope of it was so much further reaching than just this one batshit couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig great. That too. What I like about the slow burn, as you mentioned, but what I like the most about it is just the social awkwardness that builds up to the purge. And I'm calling it a purge
sure.
because I don't know what else you'd refer to something like this. You want to root for Will. Father lost his son, divorced his wife, or wife divorced him, and is now still living in his house, apparently. And you want to root for him because he's the underdog. If your ex-wife invites you to a dinner party with her new husband, one of two possibilities. A, she wants to fuck you again, which is may or may not be in your wheelhouse. Or B, she just wants to show you how happy she is without you. Either way, you don't want to go to that fucking party, my friend.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Especially unless you've got a hotter girlfriend than your wife.
Ah.
In which case you say, I'll see your uppity husband with these breast implants. Boom! Play the trump card.
Nice.
It's just so awkward. You know, I get it. These people haven't seen each other in 2 years. But like from the second that Eden shows up and she's just got that plastic smile, that managerial smile on her face, like, I'm just so happy.
She has the longest butt cheeks. I don't know if you happen to notice that.
I did not notice her butt cheeks.
In that dress. I don't know what it is. Her butt cheeks just seem to go on forever.
Was it like a height or a width?
It's a very mom long butt cheek. I don't know. It's a very weird thing. You know, I always find the important parts of movies.
Of course, yeah.
But all in all, great movie.
Absolutely.
Stands the test of time. I've seen it several times now. That first time, though, I'll never experience that again, obviously.
Right.
But really, really good movie.
I think this is what Rosemary's Baby could have been. You know what I mean?
always going to be your great comparison.
No, it's not. I mean, this was obviously way better than
that and Resident Evil.
But, like, when you try, like, Polanski, or the writer, I guess, for that matter, like, tried to basically take that but stretch it out over the course of 9 months, a pregnancy. And all they had to go on was like a snooty, well, I guess not snooty, like a quirky elderly couple that kept, you know, coming down and knocking at the door. You can tell them to shove off. You can find a new doctor. I know it'd be weird and it'd be uncomfortable, but it can be done. This situation, you're stuck, man. You're in this weird, uncomfortable social situation. You want to just say, have a good night and be on your way, but you can't because you can't be that guy. It's like the weird guy from work. You know what I mean?
I get it, but I have to jump back to Rosemary's Baby.
Sure.
I get that she could tell the neighbors to kick rocks.
Sure.
But when you've got, you know, the husband guy who's just all in on that couple.
Right.
And he's overbearing. He really kind of keeps her, you know, under thumb.
Yeah.
I don't think she could really escape her outcome.
I mean, she
not to break off on Rosemary's Baby again.
No, of course not. And we don't need to do another lap on that. But I felt like this one made a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. As far as,
like, the confinement.
Yeah.
And not just the doors and the windows. I mean, the social confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're there at that party, you're not going to start passing out middle fingers and telling everybody to eat your ass, because you have to be the bigger person.
Exactly.
You have to try to get them to pass out middle fingers and tell them to eat your
ass. Yeah, it's not just physical constraints.
Exactly, Jason, exactly. All right, man. If you have not seen the invitation, you're going to want to do that. I'm sorry we spoiled it for you, because the ending is a bit of a punch to the nutsack, but it's still pretty good. This was my second time watching it. I still enjoyed it. Watching it the second time, you pick up on little things here and there, you know, just little like Pruitt when he comes. If you watch the scene where John Carroll Lynch walks up the stairs and he's like, "Hey, you think I'd miss this?" There's like a moment's pause where it was like Dave kind of thought about, "Are we really going to do this or are we not?" But then Pruitt's there, and Pruitt's like the daddy, and he's there to walk you through.
He's going
to
walk him through it.
Yeah, and blow some heads off. All right, my friend, let's take us a little break and we'll do some other stuff.
Bye. We're cutting it close. Are we at the end of our road?
Big enough problems of my own. I'm ripping up every stone. We're cutting.
If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the Patreon link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
Good job.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, when we're done talking about cricket stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Jesus Christ.
Edit that out in post, damn it.
Yep. Has your wife ever brought you to one of these dinner parties?
No, we don't know any douchebags like that.
How lucky you must be, my
friend.
Yeah,
our circle is very small, thank goodness.
I would love to, like, shrink my circle.
Yeah?
But you know what the weird part is?
By that you mean your asshole. I would love for you to shrink it, too.
I mean,
that thing is really blown out.
That's not going anywhere, my friend. That's a double XL. But, like, the hard part, though, is, like, some of my wife's friends I legitimately like. You know what I mean? They're good. They're funny. I like hanging out with them. You can't talk about anything like political because they'll just fucking go on these weird.
Sure.
But when they get together, that's when that party happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then that's when I have to go sit in the corner.
That seems terrible.
It's just so miserable, man. It is so miserable.
That's why it's kind of a blessing that I can't leave my own house. There's nothing but anger and rage out there waiting for me.
I did that during the COVID lockdown,
yeah.
And I went fucking crazy. But you don't have kids. I mean, you can't. You have your mom now, so yeah. That's kind of the same, just not moving as fast.
Just as much mucus.
That's what it is, man. Ah, shit. All right, you ready to get into this week's Terror Dome?
Fuck yeah.
Let's do it.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. I'll make your dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blind, pale, emotionless face. With blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
First, last week's winners, Jason Harrell. We had the Xenomorphs versus the Jungle Cannibals, my friend. The last of the Uluwatu had fallen. The jungle itself was now closing in, filled with egg sacs and Icarus slime that preceded the Hive Queen. Soon the neighboring Amazon nations would fall as well. With a vote of 14-0, the Xenomorphs advance over the Jungle Cannibals.
Nice.
Anybody not see that one coming? Not me. I think this week's is going to be a little bit better. We are in the Asylum Conference Round 3. As usual, inmates, don't hold this against me. I'm not a writer, okay? Derek was slowing down, and that was a bad sign. The arrow sticking out of his leg was taking its toll. Blood loss, dehydration, fatigue, and the West Virginia terrain were all catching up to them, and Katie knew it. The hillbillies were right behind them and closing fast. Derek and Katie watched in horror as their friends were stalked and killed by the three freaks, their bodies dragged off into the woods, doubtless to suffer further indignities and degradations. Then through a clearing in the bush, she spots it. Masonry and brickwork, a building, flanked by others on either side. A shudder of hope passes through her. Buildings meant civilization. They both hobble past the buildings onto the street beyond and begin screaming for help. To their dismay, they quickly realize the buildings are empty. They've discovered a ghost town. The sign above the biggest building reads, Midwich Elementary School, Silent Hill. Teams competition, Jason Harrell. We have the Hattiger brothers versus the Silent Hill nurses. How say you?
Oh, boy. I mean, I love myself a good hillbilly.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be here without them. Got to go with the nurses.
Me too. The Hattiger brothers are hunters.
They make too much noise.
They're
grunting and groaning.
They're very boisterous, and they're quite proud of themselves, really.
Right.
They can drive a truck, so you got that going for you. They got crossbows, which is a ranged attack. But I don't know if any of that would mean shit in Silent Hill, right? Because once that air raid siren goes off, everything goes black, you're playing by a whole other set of rules there. I got to go with the nurses. They have a supernatural element, I imagine. But we have seen them kill each other, too, which is a thing. If you could make enough noise and confuse them...
The other ones just fuck each other, so...
That's true. And dead bodies and things. So there's that. I'm going to take the Silent Hill nurses as well. That's your Terror Dome matchup for the week, inmates. It is the Hattiger brothers from the Wrong Turn movies versus the Silent Hill nurses. Get us your votes by next week if you have time. The mental health hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. In the meantime, Jason, I got to watch a few movies this week.
About time.
Bet.
What are you looking at?
God damn, do I love me some Joe Bob Briggs in The Last Drive-In, Jason.
I know you do.
I fancy myself a student of horror, you know? When I find one of these goddamn movies that I like, I need to know everything about it. Take, for example, my all-time favorite, Night of the Living Dead. I thought I knew everything there was to know about it, but I did not, because Joe Bob just educated me. I was wildly behind on the Joe Bob fourth season.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to rewatch some of the other shows also. Man, like the research that he does. I knew like George Romero, Russell Steiner, Russo. I knew all those guys kind of knew each other and they were like this underground Pittsburgh film movement. But what I didn't know is that they all worked together at an advertising agency.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the zombies you see in that movie are people that invested in the movie. That's how they got them to invest. They told them they could come be zombies in their zombie movie. On top of that, just a whole wealth of information. So I watched Night of the Living Dead from 1968 on Joe Bob's Last Drive-In. Good show. The transfer on that is beautiful, mm-hmm. by the way, if you're in the mood to watch it again, especially showing on Shudder. So I watched that. That was the first episode of the fourth season. Then I rolled right into the second episode, which is a little movie that you might like called Anthropophagus. Are you familiar with this?
I am not.
Gem of a film.
Sell me on it.
Consider, if you will, a Greek isle in which one maniacal cannibal has eaten everybody on the goddamn island. Every single living person has gone through this cannibal.
Nice.
And out the butthole. Along comes a ship, wrecks on the island. Or it doesn't wreck, actually. One of the people on the boat is looking for their lost sister on the island, so they stop off. And, of course, chaos ensues, and a lot of people end up getting eaten.
Is he fat?
He's a big fella.
Is he?
He's a big fella.
I mean, he's went through a whole island.
Yeah. I guess people are high in protein. Not a lot of carbs there, I guess, right? And you got to exercise to catch these fucking guys. True. And kill them. But the high point, couple of high points of this movie, one of the ship party goers, whatever you want to call them, is pregnant, and we get to see our cannibal eat the unborn baby.
Nice.
Which is actually, for special effects purposes, a skinned rabbit.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole thing. But even better, the very end, I don't mean to ruin this movie, but it's from 1980. At the end, when they finally defeat the cannibal, they eviscerate him, his own guts start spilling out.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, he starts eating those as well.
Well,
it's quite the show. It's quite. That was also on Joe
Bob's. Tastes better the second time.
I tell you, my friend, that was also on Joe Bob's Last Drive-In. Like, these weird. It's Italian, and like the filmmaking process for these Italian late 70s, early 80s horror movies is really bizarre. It's like they just start shooting and then kind of hope that a story materializes mm-hmm. as they go. And then, like, later on, they'll bring in an effects guy, and they'll be like, what do you think? Should we kill her off? Okay, what can you do? Slit her throat? Not enough blood? Okay, maybe run her over with a car? Is that doable? Well, if we get the camera. And then they just, it's like this weird run-and-gun style of filmmaking. Very fascinating. Anyway, you can find both of those streaming on Shudder with or without Joe Bob's commentary. The only thing I have to warn you about is if you're going to watch it with Joe Bob, it takes an hour and a half movie and turns it into a 3-hour movie with all of his banter. Not that it's not worth watching if you're legitimately wanting to learn more about the film. All right, that's all I'm looking at, Jay. What do you got?
Real quick, going back to Romero being part of an ad agency. Uh-huh. There is, and you'll have to do your own research on this, but there is a current release of like one of the, it's almost like a long form ad that he did. Mm-hmm. And like they're actually releasing it to video and like with, you know, additional like commentary and things like that.
Joe Bob talked about it. It's the Calgon story.
I can't recall.
If it's what I'm thinking of, it's so Calgon, the bath soap or whatever it is, hired Romero's ad agency to basically make a movie about their product,
mm-hmm.
and like just chock full of like product placement, okay. basically to sell it. But it was like a weird retelling of like a hero's adventure, and he discovers the secrets of Calgon soap or something.
Take me away.
I tell you what.
Do you remember the commercials?
No, that was
Calgon, take me away.
Oh, I remember the,
that was the punch.
Yeah.
We watched a movie last night, so this is one of my Vinegar Syndrome pickups. It's called Thriller. A cruel picture.
Yes.
1973 exploitation, very sexploitation. Yeah. So it comes in two versions: Thriller, A Cruel Picture, or they call her One Eye. So they call her One Eye is the edited down version.
Okay.
We opted for the other one.
You would think that they call her One Eye would be the full on.
The other one should be they call her Brown Eye, because the. Thriller version has full-on sex in it.
All right.
Including an ejac shot.
Perfect.
Some butthole stuff. and a like a scalpel to the eye scene.
Please tell me your mom walked out throughout the picture just once.
I have to say, it's probably the only time I will ever say this in my life. The porn was really just unnecessary.
Okay.
It really added nothing to the movie whatsoever.
Okay.
And I really don't even understand like the vision behind them feeling the need to have it there to begin with.
Yeah.
But all in all, I mean, we enjoyed watching it. If I watch it again, it'll probably be the pornless version.
Yeah.
Just because, boy, those things are hairy. My goodness, I'm talking every orifice that was on screen.
Well, that's like a
very, very hairy.
It's from the 70s, isn't it?
1973.
Yeah, buddy. That was in for a while.
Woo, it was something.
Au naturel.
I finished up the Wreck series.
Okay.
That is a solid series.
Sure.
A lot of people don't seem to like 3 and really hate 4. 3, I could see where the, I could kind of see where people are coming from on that one. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand why they called it Wreck 3 Genesis, and I think Tim may have even pointed that out, like why are they, because it almost sounds like it might be a prequel, or like this is an origin story,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually because a priest makes a reference to Genesis, and then at the end, towards the end of the movie, he's speaking from the book of Genesis from the Bible.
Okay.
And that's kind of what puts all of the creatures in like stasis.
Okay.
So they can escape.
Is that the one where it was all SWAT team body cam, or is that 4?
It starts off with SWAT. Oh, shit. Yeah, it starts off with SWAT team body cam, okay. I believe. But then it actually departs from the first person, like shaky cam stuff, and it actually goes into just a movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it, like they abandoned the whole formula.
That was 4, right?
That was 3.
Okay.
4's on a boat.
Oh, I don't. Okay. So the last one I saw was 3. I don't remember anything about a boat.
Okay. 4's on a boat. They bring the main chick back from 1, 2.
Oh, she was so hot. Oh God.
Summer of 84, rewatched that.
That's a good one.
That is a good movie. Yeah. It's very good. Our immersion therapy that we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got around to watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix.
The new one?
Yes.
What do you think?
If you were to take out a few dumb parts, it's pretty solid.
Okay, what would you take out?
It's the dumb stuff. Like, God, I
try anything and you're canceled, bro. That one?
Honestly, it was just like stuff that they can't help but put in every movie. Like they, you know, focus the camera on... It's like they do too much, like, not foreshadowing, but they kind of advertise too many things in advance. And I just feel like they dumbed it down too much. If you were to take out these parts that I can't recall right now,
okay.
I told Sarah specifically which parts, it was pretty damn solid. I mean, it's got some really good gore in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some... one part in particular.
The pipe.
No, towards the end where you've got the quote-unquote original girl.
Yes.
Original final
Sally
girl.
Ernstie. Yeah.
I mean, come on. She gets a chainsaw up through her midsection. Yeah. Somehow she's still alive. No. And then earlier in the movie, you know, she has every opportunity to, you know, just blast him right in the face. But she wants to drag it out with conversation and all of this shit. Do you remember me? You don't even remember who I am.
Yeah.
Like, come on. This, if you were to just make this an actual logical movie, you've waited all these years for revenge, and now you're going to have a conversation?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. They dumbed it down. They don't need to.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. I think I like that movie. I think the problem is that we cannot get a Texas Chainsaw timeline. And because that franchise is so shuffled and convoluted and, like, there's no way we're going to be able to put anything together. Like, forget the remake and the prequel to that one. Okay, so you have, starting with the prequel, which would be Leatherface and Verna Sawyer and Jackson Sawyer, which there's no fucking way his name is Jackson Sawyer. And then, like, the origin story of Leatherface. And then from there you go to Texas Chainsaw 1 and then Texas Chainsaw 2. That's probably the most continuity you're going to get. You have Drayton Sawyer in all three. You have Bubba in all three. What's his name? Nubbins is only in the first one, but his dead body gets paraded around in the second one.
See, I told you, man. I go into this shit.
I know, but
like I'm not looking for... They've already fucked this whole, like, franchise up countless times.
It's not even a franchise, really.
So I take every one of them as like its own thing.
Yeah, it's what you have to do.
So I went into it at, okay, this is a Leatherface movie.
Okay.
With no, I just try to tune out everything I've seen up to this point.
I would be able to do that if they hadn't trotted out Sally Hardesty.
I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, but you can't, like, hold on to the timelines.
You can't. It's so fucking spun around. There is no time. It's almost Amityville now. You know what I mean? Where it's just, there's the house. You got the windows. Okay, put a dinosaur in there. Who gives a shit? All right, that's what we're looking at, inmates. Let's do a little immersion therapy, my friend.
Immersion therapy.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
Ha.
Thanks for making me watch Boy Behind the Door.
Well, you're very welcome.
Streaming on Shudder.
Had no idea what it was about.
You motherfucker. I think it's a disturbing film. It's like I said in previous episodes. Ever since I had kids, I can't do kid horror anymore. But I powered through it. God damn, man. The explosive or the shock collar.
Yeah.
The scene where he goes up there and finds his friend's baseball jersey laying on the bed with the camera pointing at it. You dirty motherfuckers. I don't know what went on there.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
I didn't know anything about the movie going into it. I knew it was on Shudder.
It was
on Shudder. I knew it had a solid rating.
It did.
It is a solid movie.
It is. But to be honest with you, this is exactly what I want in a horror film.
Yeah.
I want to be disturbed, frightened. I want to think about, like, you know, I want to leave my house in the morning and, like, start suspiciously eyeing my neighbors and things like that. You know, that's what a horror movie is supposed to do.
Sure.
It definitely succeeded for me. motherfucker, he ain't going to soccer anytime soon without me attached to his waist.
They actually surprised me. I did not think that second person was a lady.
Me neither.
I didn't know. I thought it was going to be two guys.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why there wasn't like an alarm set on the watch.
Yeah.
Hands down, the best part of the movie was where the chick that played Pam in True Blood.
Yes.
So she's digging her thumb into the kid's, you know, like bullet hole in his leg.
Right.
And he cuts off the finger.
Right.
And then he has to pluck the fingertip out of the hole.
Jesus.
That was great.
That was great. God damn, man. I think the part where he's just got to power through who knows how many volts to get down the stairs and save his friend, that was pretty rough. Just, dude, when he goes up there and opens a door and sees his buddy minus a shirt with this weird collar contraption on.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't go the full Monty. It could have.
Sure.
And there could have been some sounds that would have been identifiable as what may or may not have been going on behind closed doors. I don't think it needed to go that visceral. And it didn't, to its credit.
Yeah. I didn't really know where it was going. But I didn't know what their intent was with the kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely could have went to a much darker place.
They could have. And they might have. But we didn't need to see it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Would it have been better if we had? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think we need
it. It had the gut punch without it.
Yeah, totally. Just because
It's left up to your imagination.
I mean, I don't want to think about what went on in that room before we got up there to save Kevin.
Yeah.
We saw the camera. We saw his shirt laying on the bed. We found him topless with that collar on.
Polaroid of like a topless.
Like a torso kind of a thing. That's all I need. That's good.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself. All right, my man. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be The Rental, starring Dan Stevens and Allison Brie. This one's from 2020. You can find The Son of a Bitch on Netflix. Directed by Dave Franco. Big difference. Not James Franco. Dave Franco. Check that shit out, inmates. We will do the same and compare notes next week. But now, we have to educate me.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. I come from a very aristocratic bloodline, probably some inbreeding involved. And I can say that because I'm some kind of a weird platinum-haired mutant. I'm not a mutant. I'm actually a quite dashing gentleman. But I've got this weird thing where I'm super sensitive to light and sound. I can't really leave my house because of it. There's also a possibility that my sister was buried alive. Bad news, her weird long-distance fiancé just showed up, and he wants answers, and I've got to somehow stave him off or try to just get rid of the motherfucker altogether while I figure this out. I am, of course, Vincent Price from The Fall of the House of Usher. Tom Hardy, you got me.
That was good. A
deep
job.
That was a deep dive, my friend.
Still going strong.
Still going strong. You're the only one, man. You figured it out. You cracked the code. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, am I on? Yeah. Well, Jason Harrell, I am a lonely cowpoke out on the open range. And me and my kid brother here, we're working hard on our family farm. I got me some money, and I'm going to polish up my boots and head out onto town.
Brokeback Mountain.
You're not in the wrong neighborhood.
Okay.
Met myself a girl at the local watering hole, and she's got a weird group of dudes that she hangs with, and one chick, too. They smell real bad, I imagine, and they only come out at night. And goddamn, if they didn't make a fucking mess at that watering hole. One of them smells like a dead polecat, Jason. Who might I be? Tune in next week, and I'll drop some knowledge on you, my friend. In the meantime, I think that's about going to do it for this week. Join us next week for Hereditary, closing out Cult Month here in the Padded Room. Like, comment, subscribe if you have time. You know, that helps our visibility quite a bit. We do have a Patreon campaign running. Find the link at paddedroom.podbean.com. You have to hit that link there, because if you go to Patreon and search us, we're not going to pop up because we're explicit. That is the dumbest fucking rule I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that makes sense to anybody, but thank you very much for that, Patreon. $5 donation gets you control of the month of September, as well as a Padded Room travel mug, a Padded Room t-shirt, and as much hardcore pornography as I can fit into a box and send to your house legally. In the meantime, for Buddy in Absentia, Monica in Absentia, Jason Harrell, who is sitting right across from me, the Toxic Crusaders, God bless them, they're back, I guess. I wonder where the niche audience is for the Toxic Crusaders. I guarantee you there's some dude out there with a Toxic Crusaders full sleeve of tattoos. And he is just, he's got his debit card out, and he is ready to buy himself some toys.
Well, I do know that if they were coming out with a Funko Pop, Buddy would be all over it.
Oh, he'd be on it. All over it. Cults, chicks named Sadie. The lady with old one eye, the cruel.
They call her one eye.
They call her one eye and the padded
and the brown
room
eye
and the brown eye too. And the Padded Room podcast. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye, everybody.